All right. Well, thought John did a good job today. It was her bat mitzvah Torah portion, so she's going to be speaking on that in just a few moments. So let me just share a few announcements with you. Just a reminder for those who may be visiting today, you're welcome to join us after the service. We have a weekly oneg where we meet downstairs and we sit around tables, we fellowship together, we eat together, and just have a nice time of fellowship. And it's cooler downstairs, so it'd be nice to, you know, step away from some of this heat. And it's been a great summer so far. And then also this coming week, we have a special, you know, Bible study on Wednesday night. Jonathan Kahn, who is really one of the Messianic prophetic leaders in the Messianic movement, he's going to be giving a prophetic message that he shared at the recent Messiah conference in Messiah College in Pennsylvania. That was in July. So he's going to be giving a special prophetic message. You might want to come and hear that, or else you can, you know, listen by Zoom as well. And then next Sunday will be the 9th of Av, the Tish B'Av, which I'll be speaking on. And also, just a reminder, the Foothills Hospital, you know, Leo Kern, it was kind of interesting that this past Monday, I went to see Leo and Peter, and of all things, both of them were in the same room, side by side. What's the chances of that happening, right? So it was easy for me to go visit them both together. But in the meantime, Peter and John have been transferred over to the Fanning Center. Leo is still in the hospital. Keep him in prayer. John actually called me yesterday and requested that, you know, if you'd like to go visit him, he would really appreciate it. Or if you'd like to give him a phone call, we do have our new directories out, so make sure that you pick up a directory. And then you can use it to call people. And, you know, John really would appreciate, even a phone call would be encouraging for him to hear, you know, someone, you know, reach out to him. And Peter as well, at the Fanning Center. And so keep these three men in prayer. They really need a lot of prayer. And then I think there was one other. You know, the youth are planning a special weekend in September. And they really need some support and help in you know, providing some of the funds for the retreat. And so I really appreciate it. If you'd like to give a special offering for the youth, that would be much appreciated. You know, they really, it's going to be a great weekend together. They're going to be learning all about identity. And I'm going to have Rebecca come up maybe next weekend, and she can just share a little bit more about what's involved in that. So keep that in mind for prayer. And also, just don't forget your tithes. You know, it's important that we keep our faithful and our tithes, and to bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, not just some of the tithe, but all of the tithe in the storehouse, so that, because there's lots of needs among us, lots of expenses, and we really want this vision to continue to grow and prosper and have good success. And so it really depends upon each one of us and our willingness to support. And I think that's pretty much it for the announcements. So really excited to have Jan come, and you know, it's been a long time since she's given a message. I'm not sure she's ever given a message before, but in any case, I'm sure she has a lot to say, as she usually does.
Well, I'm going to be talking about our parasha portion today. And so we're going to be looking mainly at Numbers 30. And from chapter 32 to 33. So if you want to kind of have that, your finger in there, that would be great. And I'm just going to pray. Lord, we just commit this time to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are here with us today. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for your Holy Spirit being here among us. We just commit this time to you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Okay, well, I've always wondered why I was such a black and white, yes or no kind of person. I don't like gray areas. I don't like maybes. I don't like I'll do it tomorrow. I'm just that kind of a person. So Cal and I had a few things to work out when we got married. I tried the honey-do list on the fridge. I tried all kinds of things, but anyway, I like to know where I stand with a person and vice versa. I also like to write. And I've taken a few writing courses and I love to read. I'm probably near the top as to the number of books taken out of our Beth Shekinah library. I have to say, by the way, our library is full of excellent reading materials. Heather and Marlene do a great job in there keeping it up to date and current, and if you haven't checked it out, you should do that. I also love to read God's Word, My Living Word and Daily Bread, and I like to talk. So when I read my parish portion on vows and how important words are, I could understand myself better. Let's just look at what I read from the Torah today. Whenever a man makes a vow to Adonai or swears an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he is not to violate his word, but do everything coming out of his mouth. Suppose a woman in her youth vows to Adonai or obligates herself to a pledge in her father's house. If her father should hear her vow or her pledge with which she obligated herself, and her father says nothing to her, all her vows and every pledge will stand. But if her father should forbid it, none of her vows or pledges by which she's obligated herself will stand. Adonai will forgive her because her father has forbidden her. So when I first read these words, I was really upset. I thought, why should the father be able to nullify the young woman's vows? And then I thought, in some ways, maybe it was a good thing. Because if any of you have raised children, basically you know that with teenage boys, all you need is a house full of food. But with teenage girls, that's another story. We raised two boys and one girl, so we know what teenagers are like. Their emotions run hot and cold, up and down, happy and sad, excited, exasperated, desperate, and that's all in the first 5 minutes. So yes, having a mature, wise, and gentle person who loves them and wants the best for them would be great in nullifying a rash vow that they could have made. And talking about rash and reckless vows, in Judges 11, I'm sure all of you know this story, Judges 11, verses 30 and 31. Jephthah vowed a vow to Adonai and said, "If you will indeed give the children of Ammon into my hand, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return safely from the children of Ammon, it will be Adonai's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering." What a rash and foolish vow. Wouldn't he have known that whoever would be coming out to meet him would be someone he loved? Of course, the story continues in verse 34 and 35. When Jephthah returned home to Mizpah, his daughter came out to meet him, playing on a tambourine and dancing for joy. She was his one and only child. He had no other sons or daughters. When he saw her, he tore his clothes in anguish. "Oh, my daughter," he cried out, "you have completely destroyed me. You've brought disaster on me, for I made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back." What a heart-wrenching story. If only there could have been a wise and patient father for him who could have counseled him against making such a vow. You see, once the words are spoken, they take on a life of their own. Once words are heard, there will be a reaction to them. God's word tells us that life and death is in the tongue. And in the next chapter in our Torah portion, Numbers 31 is a continuation of what we read last week in our parasha called Pinchas. Remember, Pinchas acted with zeal on God's behalf. The Midianite women had seduced the Israelite men and tricked them into worshiping Baal. And, you know, Jeremiah 3, verses 1 to 5, tells us that worshiping foreign gods is like a wife, Israel, cheating on her husband, Adonai. Worshiping the Canaanite gods, Baal, Asherah, actually involves sleeping with prostitutes at shrines dedicated to their gods. Asherah shrines were commonly placed on top of hills and marked by large trees or poles planted at the top. And I thought, it's just like they were exalting themselves. They had themselves in a high place so that they could be seen. And that's what the men of Israel were doing, and even more. And so Numbers 31, verse 1 tells us, the Lord said to Moses, take vengeance on the Midianites for the Israelites. After all, after that you will be gathered to your people. So Moses said to the people, arm some of your men to go to war against the Midianites so that they may carry out the Lord's vengeance on them. Send into battle 1,000 men from each of the tribes of Israel. So the soldiers made a vow to fight against the Midianites to defend God's honor, and the Lord gave them the victory. But if you read it, when Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp, Moses was furious with the generals and captains who had returned from the battle. He said, why have you let all the women live? They were the very ones who followed Balaam's advice and enticed the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord in the Peor incident, so that a plague struck the Lord's people. Obviously, this army did not completely fulfill their vow. Numbers 30, verse 2 says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. And this parasha portion still has another vow that was made. The tribe of Gad and the Reubenites had vast numbers of livestock. So they approached Moses to ask if they could have the land on this side of the Jordan. They said in Numbers 32, verse 5, if we have found favor in your eyes, let this land be given to your servants as our possession. Do not make us cross the Jordan. Of course, can you imagine how Moses would have felt? He would have remembered 40 years before when that exact thing happened, when the people did not want to go into the land that was promised to them. The Lord was so angry with that generation for not entering in. Their punishment was to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they died. So, of course, Moses would be so angry to hear these men asking to do that. So he said to the Gadites and Reubenites, should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing over into the land that the Lord has given to them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them from Kadesh. So they answered Moses, we will not return to our homes until each of the Israelites has received their inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan, because our inheritance has come to us on the east side of the Jordan. So Moses goes on to say in chapter 32, seven times the term before Adonai is used, and the repetition seven times highlights its importance, reminding everyone that Israel can be successful only by the grace of Adonai. In verse 20, then Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, if all of you are who are armed cross the Jordan before the Lord, then in verse 22, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return, and this land will be your possession before the Lord. But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. Verse 27, but your servants, every man who's armed for battle, will cross over to fight before the Lord. And in verse 29, if the sons of Gad and Reuben cross with everyone before the Lord, when the land is subdued, give them their territory. And verse 32, we will cross over you fully armed before the Lord, but the property we inherit will be on this side of the Jordan. So Moses told them, if you do not do this, your sins will find you out. And you know, Moses must have had a special, well, we know he had such a close relationship to the Lord that he trusted him enough that Moses actually asked Adonai to make a vow to him. In Exodus 33, Moses said, "My presence will go with you." No, I'm sorry. Moses asked Adonai to make a vow to him. He said, "If you don't go before me, I won't go." So the Lord vowed to him. He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known to your people and I that we have found favor in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." And it's still that today. They're separated. There's a spiritual separation there. And the thing is, there are many different types of vows. The vow between a man and woman in marriage is a sacred vow that is intended to be honored until death parts us. Sadly, many today have not been able to keep their vows because of various circumstances and pressures. Cal and I will be married 47 years in September. We've honored our vows with all, after all these years, we've had our share of disagreements. We're both stubborn at times and have differing opinions, but we've always found a way to resolve our issues. It has been because of our love for God and our love for each other. As the scriptures say, a threefold cord is not easily broken. A strong relationship between Adonai and a husband and a wife, and a true desire to fulfill the words we spoke to one another when we repeated our marriage vows so long ago. Sadly, I know this has not been the experience with some here, but God's grace and his love will always be there for you. Another important vow is recited on Yom Kippur. We recite the Kol Nidre vows as a type of prayer and declaration at the beginning of the evening service every Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. This prayer is intended to annul any personal vows or oaths which were made between oneself and Adonai in the past year, so as to avoid the sin of breaking vows which are made to the Lord but are not or cannot be upheld. History has had many dark days when Jewish people were forced to make vows to save their lives during times of persecution and struggle. There must have been so much anguish in their hearts when they were forced to repeat words that they believed would nullify their identity and beliefs. It must have been a heartbreaking choice. And then I looked into the New Covenant. What does Yeshua say about vows? And the scripture that Sophie read, Matthew 5:33-37. "Again, you have heard that it said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall carry out your vows to Adonai.' But I tell you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black, but let your word yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything more than that is from the evil one." So Yeshua is saying that promise making and promise keeping are essential in getting along with others, and that promise breaking is deadly to human relationships. The basis of all close relationships must be trust. Trust is the bond that ties together social groups, family groups, parent and child bonds, and fellow believers in a congregation. We always told our children when they got into trouble for something, "Tell us the truth and the punishment will be far less." And usually once they explained why it happened, they didn't even have to receive a punishment. But we needed to know that we could trust them and trust their word. Yeshua is saying, keep things simple, yes or no, and then follow through. Telling the truth, keeping our promises, doing what we say we are going to do. Live with integrity. Words matter. Promises matter. Integrity matters. The Lord looks at our heart and judges it. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Because the Lord looks at our heart. That's what he looks at. Not the outer, but the heart. And then James 5:11-12 sums it up. "Behold, we consider blessed those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome of Adonai, that Adonai is full of compassion and mercy. But above all, do not swear, either by heaven or by the earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment." You know, we can also make a vow to a person that is against the person. You might say, "I'll never be like my mother," or "I'll never speak to my sister again," or whatever. When you do that, a root of bitterness can rise up within you. And it comes from making a vow or promise against another. Do you know that it can affect us both physically and spiritually? There's actual physical side effects that come from a root of bitterness and unforgiveness. Ulcers, arthritis, depression, anxiety, and other ailments can all come if we're holding bitterness inside. It can be the result of holding unforgiveness and bitterness. My challenge to you is to ask the Lord to search your heart and show you if you have made a rash or hasty vow, or even broke a covenant or promise against a family member, another person, someone in the congregation. So let's just pause and take a moment. I just want this to be in the quietness of your heart. I don't want you to think about what your neighbor did or didn't do. I just want it to be between you and God, because in the busyness and noise of the world, that gentle and quiet voice can be drowned out. So I just want you to ask him to show you if you have spoken any words that could be used against you, any words that you may have brought a judgment against yourself without even realizing it. Have you made a commitment to serve in an area in the congregation or in your family and then not followed through, or made a promise and not kept it? You know, Psalm 139, verses 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked or offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So if you can just quiet yourself and bow your head and just open your heart to the Lord and ask him, "Lord, show me if there's someone that I broke a covenant promise to, or a vow that maybe I've been holding something against somebody." Let's just take a few moments. And I want to just, as you're just drawing in quietly, I just want to read a few verses from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 10. There is a song that goes with this. "Adonai, you searched me and know me. Whenever I sit down or stand up, you know it. You discern my thinking from afar. You observe my journeying and my resting, and you are familiar with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, before Adonai, you know it all. You hemmed me in behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, look, you are there too. If I take the wings of the dawn and settle on the other side of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. So first, you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Ask Him as your Heavenly Father to nullify that vow. If there's something you've said, ask Him to forgive you and nullify that vow. And then, if it's possible, go to that person and ask them for their forgiveness. Because, you know, if you do that, you will be free. The Lord will set you free. And, you know, if we're free in the Lord, we are free indeed. So I just, however you want to do it, just let that be your time between you and the Lord. Just ask Him to search you and know you and show you if there is something that you need to deal with in your own heart or life. There's a song that we're going to sing. It's called Change My Heart, O Lord. And let that just be your prayer today. Change my heart, O Lord. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O Lord. Let me just end in prayer. Lord, we just praise you and thank you that you're our merciful and loving Father. Lord, that you will nullify vows that you know we are repentant of and that we're asking forgiveness for. Thank you that you care about every part of us and you care about our hearts and you see our hearts, Lord. No matter how distant we might feel from you, Lord, you are there, our loving Father. And so I just pray, Lord, for each one here today, Lord, that as you search their hearts, Lord, and show them different areas, Lord, let this just be a new beginning of freedom for them, we pray. Let us walk in your freedom, we pray, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, John, for that challenging word. And I know that the end of August, we begin the month of Elul. You know, we begin a time of searching our hearts. And so John's kind of challenged us a month ahead of time, you know, to go to those we have offended. We'll be hearing a lot about that during the month of Elul as we prepare ourselves for the fall feast and for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. And it's really a time that we really try to make our hearts right with God and one with one another. And so I know that this is such an important word for us to really be careful how we speak to each other. We can speak words that can hurt others, and that's how many relationships have been ruined because of our unkind and our words and the way that we've spoken to each other. The Lord really wants us to speak words of encouragement and love and be patient with each other. We all have our shortcomings. We all fall short. But God is faithful. And as long as we seek His face and really seek to be humble, we know in building a community is not always easy because we have all different personalities and we all can be stubborn at times and we want to insist our own way. But, that's how we grow together as a community, when we really learn how to love one another, even we're not very lovable, that we need to still learn how to love each other. And so let's really take that as a word of encouragement and challenge as we prepare ourselves for the fall season, because, during the fall season, we become very introspective. We begin to look more inward and really begin to ask God to really search our hearts, so we can begin fresh. We can wipe the slate clean once again, and we can begin fresh. And that's why God's always provided that provision. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so really encourage you to spend some time this week and just in prayer, as we prepare for next Shabbat, which will be an important service as we are reminded of Tisha B'Av and just really the consequences of disobedience. All that Israel experienced is because of disobedience. And they really are intended to be an example for us as well of what happens when we disobey God. And so let's really learn how to walk in obedience, because with obedience comes tremendous blessing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.